this is a chance to reaffirm who we are and what we stand for, and that those values and those commitments are deep and long-lasting, and we'll go forward.
That was Boise Mayor Dave Beter speaking about the mass stabbing that happened in Boise Saturday night. 9 people stabbed, 6 of them children between the ages of 3 and 12. The suspect, 30-year-old Timothy Kinner of Los Angeles. All the victims are refugees from Syria, Iraq, Ethiopia, people who fled a country of violence for the United States. They came here for a better life, a life of peace. Joining me today to continue our conversation, District 16 State Senator Grant Burgoyne and James Brownson with the International Rescue Committee of Boise. Thank you again for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you.
James, I'd like to start with you. Give us a little bit of background about our refugee community in Boise, because we have a large community.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So the International Rescue Committee, internationally, we work in countries of humanitarian crises to help people recover and gain control of their futures. In the United States, our offices are resettlement agencies. So here in Boise, the International Rescue Committee has been here since 2006. We've resettled about 3,500 refugees in the Boise area, and they are from all different countries. You know, they're from Iran, Iraq, Ethiopia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Bhutan. So they come from a wide range of different countries.
What has it been like this past weekend within the community?
Within the refugee community?
Yes.
It's, you know, I don't know how you can quantify or qualify, you know, something like this.
Right.
It's been, you know, a horrible experience for the people. I know our staff members were at the hospital Saturday night. We were in the office all day yesterday. We're continuing to work with the families today. We want to make sure that they have the support that they need and do everything we can to help them along.
And is there a concern, I mean, because they do come from countries of war. I mean, they are refugees. They are coming to the United States.
Yes.
To seek refuge. And then when something like this happens, does it take them back? I mean, have you seen that?
I can't, because I have not
But people
seen
from
any
your
clients.
Organization?
The people that are come here as refugees, they've already been traumatized. You know, they've come through war zones. They've been living in refugee camps. So they're already traumatized. And to be re-traumatized by this event, it's mm-hmm. going to be very impactful on the individuals that are affected as well as the larger refugee community. And, you know, the feelings of safety in the community, they'll, you know, have questions about that. And for the people that have been affected, there's short-term medical needs that need to be addressed, as well as more long-term
just care and help.
Mental health. Yeah.
Senator Burgoyne, you represent a lot of refugees. We talked about that in the last segment. And you've had a chance to be out in that area. What have you seen? What have you heard from people within your district?
Well, I have to say these are strong and resilient people. Refugees undergo many crises. They undergo many crises in their home countries. They undergo them to get here, and they undergo them here. The international market that burned was a real crisis for people. But their strength and their resilience does see them through, just like it does for all of the immigrants who have come before them, who experienced many trials in becoming successful Americans. And I have every confidence that will be the case here. Now, we have victims, and we're very concerned about these victims. And we know how difficult and horrific it is. I think the refugee community, it's going to be fine because they are going to succeed. You know, the strength of these refugees is shown in the rest of our community. The churches that open their doors so that these communities can have their religious services, have a place where they can go, and churches of different faiths opening their doors to these new congregations of different faiths. The willingness of our people here to help out. You know, the thing about Idaho that I love is we don't know a stranger. And I think that we have a great reservoir of strength as a community to draw on in these times of trouble. And so I'm confident and I'm optimistic. I look at our schools where immigrant and refugee children attend and what an opportunity that provides for the rest of us. To learn from them, to have our horizons broadened, to take in the rest of the world. People who come to the United States have been through the world and know about the world, and they know that unfortunately it can be a very violent and a very difficult place. And I think they know we're not immune to it. And I think our ability to know and understand that provides us a kind of strength.
I'm speaking with State Senator Grant Burgoyne and James Brownson with the International Rescue Committee of Boise. We are talking about the mass stabbing that happened in Boise Saturday evening. If you have questions, you can always email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. And James, a lot of people have, lots of community members have reached out wanting to help.
Yeah.
What's the most important ways people can help right now?
Yeah, we have just, it's been an outpouring of support, and it's been incredibly gratifying. Community members, as well as media, a lot of media inquiries. And so the way that the community members can help most, number one, attend the vigil this evening at City Hall, 6 p.m. People can also donate. Just, we've set up a fundraising campaign. If they visit rescue.org, it's right on the main page of rescue.org right now, and people can give directly to the families that have been impacted by this tragedy in Boise to help with medical expenses, to help with rehousing, to help with all the support that will have to come afterwards, the social work and things like that.
Because one of the things that your committee was able to do was with the little girl who had to be transported to Salt Lake, and Senator Burgoyne, you talked about this, and the expense that it costs for a family to do that.
Yeah.
One of the things your committee was able to do, though, was to get the mom to Salt Lake.
Yeah, immediately. We stepped in, got her down there to Salt Lake to be with her daughter, yeah.
Bought her a plane ticket, got her down there.
Yeah.
But Senator Burgoyne, you said within your family you've experienced, you know, having, you know, a child in the hospital, having this kind of displacement in a different city. So from your perspective, I mean, it's not just getting the mom down there. There's other things that need to happen.
Well, when people get to a medical facility that is 5 hours away over the road and an hour or so away by plane, they're taken out of their community. They're taken out of their support system. They need to be with their child to make medical decisions. They need to be with their child to provide that child comfort and support. They need to be with that child for their own emotional needs. And yet they're going to find that they got to Salt Lake City and they didn't have everything that they need. And it's going to just not be a priority to get to the drugstore, to get to the grocery store, to get to wherever, to get those things that they need just so that they can be there with their child. They need a place to stay. That has a cost. It has an expense. What's available in the hospital may or may not be adequate to that family's needs. And so there are all of these additional things, and getting there obviously is so extremely important. But now my concern is we have a family or at least a mom,
we know that,
down there who continue to need our help. And these needs continue. And then they need to come home. And, you know, life is just like this. An event happens, and then it begins to fade from public consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's going to fall to the neighbors and the families and the friends and their extended community to continue to help to provide the help that's needed. And it's not always financial help. Sometimes it's emotional support. Sometimes it's helping to watch a child so that another child, the parent, can take to the doctor or can do this or do that. And these things become so important. And, you know, I can say that fortunately we live in a community where these things do happen. And but we need to make sure that everybody's aware of those needs.
Yeah, a week from now or 2 weeks from now.
That's right.
Right. So James, you had mentioned that if people go, it's rescue.org.
Rescue.org.
And you can donate directly, you said, to these families that are impacted. I know that's incredibly important for people in a situation like this.
Yeah, it's not going to go into a giant black hole. And the you'll actually see on the webpage, there's a link that you can click on to directly support people affected by the tragedy in Boise.
And that's how we can help these families as the days and the weeks go on.
And I would reaffirm what the senator said and keep us in your mind in the future. You know, the outpouring of support has been overwhelming. And it's more than, and there might be some people listening right now that have emailed me asking to help, and I haven't had a chance to respond yet, just because we're working to meet the immediate needs of these families and take care of everything that we need to take care of in the crises kind of condition like this. But just to keep us in your minds moving forward as well, because tragedies like this unfortunately happen, but we are still a resettlement agency and we're in need of support year-round.
Yeah. I want to thank my guest today, James Brownson, with the International Rescue Committee of Boise, Senator Graham Burgoyne from District 16, as well as Chief of Police, Boise Police Bill Bones, who is here, and Mike Journey with the City of Boise talking about the stabbing that happened last Saturday. Mayor Dave Beter will be joining us tomorrow to talk a little bit more about this, as well as the vigil that is happening tonight, 6 p.m. in Boise at City Hall, if you would like to attend.